Levy, no pressure at all. Touchdown, Abrams. The Bayou Crossing. Levy on a first and goal carry. Throws a touchdown. Grambling comes with a blitz. Levy steps in the pocket. And his pass is caught. One-handed grab.
Too late in the middle of the road with a slap, but immediately they jump on the Jackson State defense. Rolling out. And the pass is caught. Dawes at the 31-yard line. Again throwing the football downfield. Oh, and his receiver Hayes makes the catch. See you later. Touchdown, Southern.
If you're going to get, I got some free tickets. Look out for it, brother.
Going downfield. Oh, what a play by Southern.
Gordon. He's played a lot tougher ever since. But it's a free play for Southern.
Second and 15.
It's a free play.
EV completes his
pass. It's a free play. It's a free play.
Hayes. Hayes is going to continue running inside the 10. The 5. Unbelievable, Michael Hayes.
Third down.
And 23 for a first. Levy over the middle. Nice pass that time. Second and 20. Levy doesn't have to get it all, but he's going to have to pick up some yards. Here he is throwing, nice catch made, the receiver, Michael Hayes. There he goes. Hayes makes the catch. Hayes still on his feet. Hayes looking for blocking. Hayes trying to find a hole. Hayes is still on his feet. He had the oops. He's inside the 15 and thrown out of bounds.
Touchdown.
The backfield. Break the spirit of Terrence Levy or not. Here he wings one wide open down the middle on a one-handed grand lane.
In the way. Third down in 4. And here's Lewis off the catch. Lewis still on his feet. And Lewis is streaking down the sideline. Touchdown. So they move back 5 yards. Levy on third down. Look at that sideline.
Guys stepping up like they're going to blitz, he really is going to start thinking.
All right, we're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us this morning. Senator Cleo Fields joining me here in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's way better, right?
That's a lot better.
Yeah, we had to get him. We got him to the mic now.
Right.
So, you know, as we're talking about politics and we're looking at the local and the regional, right? Just a quick synopsis, as you was talking about, right? Big mayor's race in the city of Baton Rouge, right? For people to pay attention to, because what happens, a lot of people, when you talk about that voting, and I have conversations, especially with young people all the time, they miss out a lot on being a part of the election process when it comes locally, because they typically just look at the national stage, because that's what you see, right? The presidential election on all across the board, that would get everybody talking. But we often miss just the small elections, the ones that actually matter, right? A national election is, you know, for the national, for the country. But what really affects your life is the people right there at home who you have to vote for.
Yeah, and they all matter. They all are important, and people need to pay attention, and people need to actually participate in this process. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of activity on the state, the local, and the national level as it relates to politics. And people need to heed to it, and people need to go, they need to register to vote, and they need to let their voice be heard. I remember when I was in Michigan back in 1984 campaigning with Reverend Jesse Jackson when he was running for president of the United States, and we were in this housing facility, and he was rallying. It was a big rally, and then after the rally, we had a little town hall kind of talk, you know, sit and talk with the folk, and the folk were like, you know, talking about all of the problems and you know, not interested in voting. And we got back on the plane. I said, Rev, you know, these people are so apathetic. How can they be? And it was like, no, they're not apathetic voters. They're uninspired voters.
Mm-hmm.
It is our responsibility to inspire them. And so I learned that lesson back in 84. You know, it's the people who are running for office job to get out here and inspire. You know, folks, some folk gonna vote no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna vote. But then there are others, you know, that not so much. So you have to give them a reason to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to connect that dot for them. And And that's what all of the, you know, not only the people running for office, but all of the ministers, all of the community leaders, the teachers, you know, all of them need to help people connect that dot.
You know, I started out in marine biology, right? When I started college, I was going to go be a scientist. I was going to study aquatic life and do these things, right? But during that time was a crucial election with Barack Obama, who ultimately won. This is when I first started college. That inspired that whole movement. Right. It was like a grassroots movement, right? It inspired me to then want to become more informed and do more within my community, because beforehand, I just took my community for what it was, and I really wasn't paying attention. And for those, I grew up in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, a place that is, if you look it up, it's riddled with crime, one of the highest crime rates in the nation. No jobs. It is just a place that has gone down, down, down. And when I woke up and started to pay attention, I wanted to realize what was going on with my community. Why wasn't the opportunities here? What was going on politically that was obviously nobody was paying attention to the downward spiral? Was it hidden agendas? Was it people out for self? Was it just didn't care about the community, the young people of the community? So I changed my major to political science. I switched and transferred to Southern. And because of that, I opened my mind up to be involved in the world that's around me. And I realized how important that is. You know, why does my neighborhood, we don't have sidewalks. We had ditches. And the streetlights wasn't, you know, I go on the other side of town. It's sidewalks. It's bike lanes. I mean, it's everything. But we do the same thing in my community. We riding bikes. We're walking. You know, but we're in the street. You know, and it was just those things that I said, you know what, I need to be informed. And I need to know what politics is like. I need to know the world of politics and understand what policy and all of those things. And that's what the great education at Southern University helped me, the Nelson Mandela School of Public Policy and Urban Affairs. I was able to go there and get this from some great professors. And now because of that, I'm thankful to have this opportunity with a radio show, because I don't want to just waste it, because we talk about sports all the time. People love the sports. But in the midst of sports, because election seasons typically fall amongst football season.
That's right, doing football.
And that's always the typical tough part of, can we get the people to go vote? Because it's homecoming this weekend. And, you know, we're going to have a conundrum. What are people going to choose?
But, the good thing about the process now versus back when I was at Southern, for example, you know, Election Day was one day.
Yeah.
I mean, it was on Election Day, and it was on a Saturday when there was a football game, and it was tough to get people out on that one day. But they got out. Now, you know, you have Election Day. You know, people are going to start receiving their early ballots, I mean, absentee ballots in the mail, mail-in ballots shortly. And then you got 7 days before the election to actually vote. So there are literally no excuses for folk not to actually exercise that right, irrespective of who they vote for.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense now to miss the opportunity. You got more than 7 days. You got 7 days you can vote in person, and then you got, you know, if you requested an absentee ballot, a mail-in ballot, you know, you got until, you know, right before Election Day to turn it in. So every person should exercise. I mean, you know, if you don't like people, just vote against them.
Yeah.
You know I mean, but exercise that right to vote.
Let me ask you this, because you talked about inspired, right? Getting voters to be inspired. Now, let's move to the national stage, right? Kamala Harris, Donald Trump, regardless of whoever you pick out there, that's on you. Do you think voters are inspired when you look at the national stage right now, are those two running against each other?
I think so. I mean, I really do. I think so, because I think, first of all, President Biden, who has served this country, in my view, well, who has done a great job as president, you know, he got to a point where the base of his party was just not inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kamala Harris just brings so much energy. I mean, you just look at her rallies.
Was it due to his age that you feel there was a disconnect?
Yeah, it was mainly.
Yeah.
And you know, President Biden has been serving for a long time. It's not just age. But, you know, it was a number of things. It's hard being on that campaign trail.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's hard, you know, standing up night after night giving speeches, I mean, you
changing
are on,
time zone.
Yeah, it's a job. It's a lot of work, you know. I know it. So at the end of the day, it was I think it was appropriate that he, you know, handed the baton to his vice president. And now you can see the energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, people, when she shows up, people show out.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to be a great election. And, you know, President Trump on the other side, you know, obviously he has had, you know, people to show up for his campaign rallies. Now you got two individuals where people are actually showing up. And I think people are going to go to the polls and they're going to vote in record numbers.
Yeah, because the last presidential election was huge when you look at the numbers. People, both candidates broke records, right, in terms of the voter turnout. Now when you look at the two vice presidents added to these two running candidates, what's a little bit about both of these vice presidents?
Well, I mean, I just think the world of him. I think he's he has great energy. I think he's going to do very well.
Because they seem to, the picture that they paint of him, that he's the common man, right?
Yeah.
He does.
Former
he is,
coach.
Yeah.
I mean, he got all the former military. I mean, he has all the trappings of what you would need in a vice presidential pick.
Mm-hmm.
Vince. You know, same thing. I mean, they both have rhetoric, which is, you know, every person running for office is going to have rhetoric. But at the end of the day, I think that's going to be an exciting piece to watch as well. The interesting thing, you know, as I tell the students at the Louisiana Leadership Institute, you know, the popular vote is one thing, you know. And you can win the popular vote and then end up losing the presidency. Because the president is elected based on electoral college.
That's it.
So somebody got to get 270 votes. And that's what the big fight is about now. That's why you hear about, you know, some of the states are, you know, marginal states. And that's where, you know, folk are, you know, putting a lot of their attention. Some states are safe states, you know, where candidates or campaigns are saying we got this one. And so it's those marginal states that could go either way are going to, you know, going to be the states that most of the candidates are going to spend most of their time and resources in the next few weeks.
Let's get ready to take a break here. When we come back, we'll get ready to close things out with Senator Cleo Fields. That's the voice that you hear. We're talking Louisiana politics, national politics, just informing you, getting you ready for the election season so you can go ahead and if you're not registered to vote, get yourself out there, register to vote, become a part of the electoral process, right, and be involved in your community, all right? That's what we want to let you know this morning. So you guys, stay tuned. Hey, go use the bathroom. Grab your coffee, as Senator Fields came in talking about. Get your coffee and come on back. Turn the radio up. Turn the volume up as we continue the conversation. More of the Jaguar Journal.
It's On the Yard Sports, and I'm Perry White, and what I need for you to do is go follow and subscribe to our YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, as well as Twitter right now.
D.R. Ricks is a fifth-year senior who's getting his first chance to drive the train that Bob talked about, and right now he's driving it quite well because the Southern Jaguars are kicking butt in the SWAC conference. As Bob mentioned, 6-0 overall in the SWAC, and D.R. Ricks has played so well, over 2,000 yards passing. In the last three games running the football, he's been over 100 yards on the ground. The respect factor that he gets from his teammates is incredible. As a fifth-year senior has never started, they elected him captain. And the numbers he has put up are represented on your screen. 27 total touchdowns on the offense, a pass percentage of nearly 60%. He could be the SWAC player of the year on the offensive side.
Best, and they're going to get a huge dose of the best offensive player in the SWAC, and that being Thomas Ricks.
Yeah, what Thomas Ricks has found a way to do is just beat defenses either with his arm, with his feet, or with his leadership capabilities, finding a way to win the games late with fourth quarter comebacks. He showed versatility and athleticism. He's a tremendous athlete that knows how to win, most importantly.
He is a leader both on and off the field.
I just think it has come to a maturity level. I have a four-year-old son, and, you know, when he was born, I had to grow up fast and, you know, just staying in school and practicing every day, trying to get better every day, you know, just so he can have a better future. It's just been my inspiration. So,